Okay, so praise the Lord. We went through a year of testimonials on Wednesday nights, and it was amazing what we learned about each other and how God had brought people, you know, through so much. And we could just see how much God has changed, you know, people's lives. He's changed me. Has He changed you? Amen. Are we being changed? We're still in the process, right? Hallelujah. But one thing that really stood out to me, Brother Wayne, was the make me your passion. Make the Lord your passion. Don't have other gods before Him. How many know that He is delightful beyond anything this world could offer you? How would we want nothing more than His presence again, as the song said? Take me back to that place, Lord. Well, all I wanted was Your presence. Because if you have the Lord, you have Jesus, you have everything you need. I mean, everything else will just follow. Amen? That relationship with Him. He takes care of His children. But He doesn't want you seeking things first. He wants you to seek the kingdom. Amen? Seek Him above everything else. And everything that you have need of, He's going to take care of. Hallelujah. It's interesting how these words that were shared this morning are really kind of pointing in the right direction here, because it helps me to know that maybe I'm in the right direction. Often when I put something together, I'm not always 100% sure about things. Anybody beside myself ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? Where you just pray and say, Lord, give me some light, give me some revelation, show me what You want. I don't want to just put anything out there, amen. I don't want to bring out some stale leftovers. I want a word from You, amen. I want something fresh from the altar, hallelujah, from Your throne, something You are speaking right now, amen. And God is often, even through that which is written, He is reminding us of His promises, that He is with us, that He really does love His people more than we can really imagine or fathom. How great is the Father's love for us? Do you know the love of God? And it passes knowledge. You can't know God just through knowledge alone. The knowledge is to point you to His heart. Amen. That you may know the love of God that passes knowledge. I want to know the Lord. Amen. How many want to put a smile on the Lord's face? I want to live to please the Master. Amen. The most important thing to me is when I see Jesus that I hear Him say, you did good. You did your best. Well done. You weren't perfect, but you did your best. Amen. You gave me your heart. And God can do something with a heart that's given to Him. He can breathe into us. Amen. The breath of life, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. He can make us strong in His might. Amen. It's the love of God that lifts us above all the noise and the confusion and the fears and the phobias. Amen. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts that drives out all fear. Amen. God doesn't want His people to be fearful about anything. Amen. He doesn't want us worrying about anything. He didn't want you worrying about, you know, what the boogeyman's doing or what they're saying on the news, or, you know, because the enemy is just trying to sow hopelessness all the time. He loves attention, you know. And so you got to quit giving him that attention. We got to quit listening to the wrong voice. We need to see things from God's perspective. That's our problem so often, is we're seeing things through an earthly, carnal, or natural perspective. And often we judge things based upon what we see. But the faith, amen, that God is talking about is that which believes beyond what you see and believes what God has promised, what God has said. So regardless of how I feel or how it looks, I believe God's word. What God says is what I'm going to embrace, what I'm going to internalize, what I'm going to receive. Amen. So we got to get past the surface of things, and we got to get to the heart of the matter. We need to commune with God. Let the Lord be your passion. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. The title of the message today is Seeing Things from God's Perspective. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am given to the children of Israel. What did he say? I'm giving to the children of Israel the word of the Lord. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. In verse 17, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. And verse 25, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. And Numbers 13 and verse 27, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Uh-oh. Nevertheless, a double-minded man is unstable. What? Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. These were giants, by the way. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. God was not telling them to look at all that. He said, I want you to take a look at what I promised you. Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. Don't pay attention to the giants. Don't pay attention to the world. Don't look at things from your natural perspective. You need to see things the way I see it. And the way I see it is that it's yours already, promised to you. You just need to go and possess what I've already done for you, what I've already accomplished for you, what I've already set in place for you. By faith, you possess what I promised you. And don't look at the giants. Don't look at the distractions. Don't look at these other things that in the natural would appear to be bigger than you are. Because in the natural, they are bigger than you are. But I'm bigger than they are. God is bigger, amen, than the boogeyman. He's bigger than anything the world will throw at you. So what did Caleb do in verse 30? He quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. He's an example for us, isn't he? He believed what God said. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. In other words, it's hopeless. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. The devil loves it when we exalt him above the truth. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Here it is. So we were in their sight. We've talked about this before, haven't we? We were like grasshoppers in our sight. And so we were in their sight. What you believe is important, and what you believe about yourself is important. You need to believe what God has said about you, not what the devil says. He tells lies. In 1 John 5:4, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So naturally speaking, once again, it is impossible for us to accomplish the will of God. The people's hearts had fainted within them because they were trusting in their own ability to overcome the giants that they faced. This is where a lot of people fail in their walk, as they begin to look at things from an earthly perspective. And naturally speaking, the things that we face often are much bigger than we are, but they're never bigger than our God. Amen. So we have to be careful that we don't start to reason within our own understanding or try to be wise in our own understanding, But instead, we shift away from our thoughts and say, Lord, but what is your perspective? What are your thoughts concerning this problem or this situation that I'm faced with? Lord, what do you have to say? How many know it's a good idea to seek the counsel of God? Amen. And to pray through until you get an answer and you get a word from God. God will give you instructions. God has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. Amen. He has a way. It's the way of holiness. It's the way everlasting. And he wants us to learn how to walk in that way of faith, confident assurance that God is with me, God is for me, and God will do what he said he will do because God does not fail. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how grim the future may look. Amen. I know that I have a future. Amen. And God has only good in store for me. Amen. Oh, the only thing, the worst thing that can happen to us is they could kill our bodies. Amen. But that just means a promotion. Amen. Into glory. Hallelujah. So why are we living in fear in this world? Amen. God is with us. That's all we need to know. God is with me and God is for me. Why should I worry? If God be for us, who? Amen. So we cannot accomplish the will of God apart from his provision of power and his grace. Can you agree with that? So if we trust in our own ability to live for God, we will fail to do it. It's only by God's grace that we're able to accomplish whatever he tells us to do. And Caleb knew this. He trusted that God had said he would give us the land. He said we're going to do it because God has already promised it. So naturally, of course, it was impossible. But God used Caleb, amen, to speak the truth. Even in the midst of so much pessimism and negativity and doubt and unbelief, Caleb rose up, amen, and he spoke. He said, we are well able to, amen, to have this land because God has promised it to us. Now, one of the things the devil wants to do is preoccupy us with worldly things. Amen. Because if he can preoccupy us with worldly things, we will never live out the will of God for us. If he can preoccupy us with temporary things, we will never live for eternal things. And the devil is a thief. He wants to offer us a cheap counterfeit for what God has, which is always better, always superior to what the enemy would offer you. We need to see things from God's perspective. We need to see ourselves as believers, as overcomers in Christ, amen? And not as grasshoppers, all right? Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. We need to internalize the truth. We need to embrace the truth. We need to live in the truth, abide in him, amen, who is the truth. And therefore, when you believe what God has said, you're in a position to receive. Why? Because God honors faith. For without it, it's impossible to please him. We need to believe God. And God is pleased when we do. God is pleased when we live according to his truth and not according to the way things appear. We need to see ourselves as free from the power of sin and Satan. John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So are you free today? Are you free from the power of sin? If you're not, you can be. God wants to liberate you from the power of sin. He wants to bring you from slavery into sonship. He wants to translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. He wants you to be a new creation. Amen. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, dearest Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, you also, here it is, reckon yourselves or consider yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you do not believe in Christ that you are dead to sin, you will live sinful. Because sin's power will dominate you. Because it's faith in what God has said and what He has promised that releases the grace of God to liberate you from the power of sin. Is that making sense? God will honor those who honor Him. And we honor Him by believing Him and by receiving what He says. Not how well I did, but the fact that I am free from the power of sin. And now I can live a righteous life because Christ has set me free. Amen? Amen. I can live a righteous life. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, you can live a righteous life. And hopefully you are. Amen? But it's by faith in the promise of God. By faith in the grace of God. It's by His power, amen, that we're free from the power of sin and Satan. Hallelujah. So we need to see ourselves also as blessed. I want to take some more time on this morning. You need to see yourself as blessed. As a child of God, you are blessed of the Father. Can you say amen? Well, I don't feel blessed. It doesn't matter if you feel blessed or not. Acknowledge, amen, confess the truth that you are blessed, highly favored, deeply loved. The devil hates it when you start speaking those things because those things line up with what is true. I'm blessed, highly favored, deeply loved. God is with me. God before me. Who? We need to see ourselves as blessed in the Lord and listen, no longer under the curse. Am I cursed? Do you understand the devil wants you to believe as a child of God that somehow you're under a curse? He's playing with your mind all the time, trying to get in there and to convince you to believe, to accept the lie that somehow you're not set free from that curse, that you're not a child of God, that you're not blessed of God. Instead, He wants you to believe that somehow, because something bad happened in my life, that means I'm cursed. The devil's a liar. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Amen. It's what you believe will determine what you receive. Amen. If you believe you're cursed, then you're opening the door for the enemy to come in there. Amen. And mess with your mind. And a lot of times he will continue to camp out in your mind and speak all these things because we're not taking authority and kicking him out. We need to say, Satan, I reject you. Get out of my head. Get out of my life. Get out of my family. Get out of my home. I reject you in Jesus' name. And he has to go. Somebody say he has to go. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. How many know this? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Declared righteous in Christ. Colossians 2:13, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he did what? Forgave all our sins. I received that today. He canceled the record of the charges against us. And took it away by nailing it to the cross. Paid in full. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Hallelujah. We need to see ourselves as deeply loved of the Father. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. That's the truth. I don't feel loved. Receive His love. Believe in His love. Believe in what He says. God never lies. We need to renew our minds. We need to change our thinking. Amen. We need to repent in our thinking. Start getting into agreement with what God has said. Not how you're feeling. Not even the way things appear at times. That we should be called what? The children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. You're going to be different now. You live in, amen, under new management. You have a new master. Hallelujah. And sin is no longer your master. You live now under the authority of Jesus. Amen, our Lord. Sometimes our struggles are the result of listening to the wrong voice. Let me ask you, who do you get your advice from? Do you get your advice from the world? People of the world? Where do you seek your counsel from? People that don't know God? How many know that God is not weak and that God has all power? He is almighty. He is all wise. He is all knowing. He is the ultimate counselor. He has given us His Holy Spirit that we may know the things that are freely given to us, that we may be able, through the truth, walk in this freedom that Jesus purchased for us. Amen. No longer bound by sin or slave to that old life. Amen. But now a free man, set free through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, to walk in a new life so that now we can give ourselves back to God to serve Him the rest of our days. Because you won't serve God if you live in condemnation. Because you're always going to say, I'm not worthy. I'm not good. I'm not good enough. Amen. Come on, the devil is a thief. God has a plan for your life. You need to get past, amen, the sin problem and consider yourself dead indeed to sin. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son. I've been redeemed. I've been purchased through the blood of Christ. I've been brought into fellowship, amen, with the Heavenly Father. And now I can call out to my Father and know that my Father hears my prayer. And know that my Father loves me deeply. And He cares about every detail of my life. If I will acknowledge Him in all my ways, He will, not might, but He will direct my path. God didn't create us to be bound by fear or anxiety or depression or mental torment. Come on. Some believers believe that that somehow they just need to live under constant harassment from the devil. Well, I guess it's just the way it's going to be for me. If you accept it, yes. But you need to accept the truth. And the truth will liberate you. Amen. We're not in any way intimidated by our spiritual adversaries, right? Or even physical adversaries. Why? Because we know God is with us. Amen. I declare today that I am blessed, amen, of the Lord in Christ. I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. And God has made available to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through Him. Amen. God does not want me embracing these things as just a part of who I am. Oh, I guess I just have to live in depression the rest of my life. God wants you to break out of that shell of depression. Amen. He wants you to come out of the egg. Break that shell. Get out of that. Spring forth, oh well, within my soul. Amen. Call on the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Press into God. Hallelujah. Because that's where your freedom's at. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm no longer bound by the devil. I refuse to be bound by the devil. I refuse to bow down to depression. Oh, you may have a moment of depression, but you don't have to live depressed. When you recognize what's going on, you say, you know what? Enough is enough. We're putting the kibosh on this right now. In Jesus' name, I receive my freedom. The Lord wants me to have joy. He wants His people to be joyful. If that were not so, Paul would not have said in what? Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeated it. Jesus came to liberate us from every curse. He came to liberate us from the dominion of Satan. So we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Now Jesus has opened the prison doors. Now, think about this. Satan tries to convince you that the door is already closed. The Lord has opened the door for you to liberty, but the devil comes along and says the door is shut. You have to remain here. You can't walk in freedom. What you believe will determine what you receive. Believe the truth and you'll be set free. Know it. Internalize it. Declare it. Amen. Live it. The truth will always trump the lie. He wants you to believe that somehow the door is shut and you just can't ever be free. But Jesus said in John 8:32, quote it with me, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Guys, let me just say this also. Anybody beside myself have some personal weaknesses? Okay. If you haven't, I want to talk to you afterwards. So we're going to have an altar call here. But personal weaknesses are not the main problem, but a lack of faith in God. Sometimes we struggle due to a lack of knowledge of the truth. Isn't that true? People perish because they don't even know what is true. All right? But even when we receive the truth, when we know what is true, then sometimes we're struggling because we have a lack of faith in the truth. See, that Israel had the word in the wilderness, but it was not mixed with faith. Many of them did not believe what God said. They knew what God said. They could quote what God said, but they did not believe what God said to the degree that they would live out the promise that God had given them. Are you hearing me today? It's not about personal weakness. That's not the problem, because God is able to work in our weakness. He's able to make a weakness a strength. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But the devil can only deceive us in the areas where we lack the knowledge of the truth. And so people who only have an intellectual knowledge of the truth remain in spiritual bondage. That's why you have some people that know a lot of the word, but they remain bound. Why? Because truth must be digested, internalized. Jesus needs to become our passion. Not doctrine. But doctrine is to point us to Jesus so we can know the true Jesus. Amen. But he needs to be, the person of Jesus Christ needs to be our passion. And as we cultivate our relationship with him, we will know the Lord. We will know his voice. We will know his faithfulness. We will know that he is a promise keeper. We will know that he is greater than the one that's in the world. And we know that Jesus has our back, amen? And he's actually rooting for us. He's the one that's at the end of the line, at the finish line, rooting us on and saying, come, inherit that which I have set aside for you since the foundation of the world. Personal weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, he said to me, my grace, what is Paul speaking, is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul knew the key to victory was humility. And acknowledging that he wasn't all that, and that without the grace of God, he was nothing. But he knew that the Lord was going to take care of him and help him through every situation that he faced, every struggle, every trial, every persecution. Because the Lord had promised that his grace would be sufficient for him, that he would sustain him through it. And so he didn't always take away Paul's weakness. Instead, he says, my grace will sustain you in your weakness. Why? So that the power of Christ could rest upon him. And the same thing is true with us. God needs vessels that he can trust, vessels that he can use. And people that God can trust are people that have true humility of heart and an acknowledgement and realization that without him, I can do nothing. Are you hearing me? We start to get self-confident and we fall from grace. And we need to turn back to the Lord, who will grant us the grace we need. He needs to be the center of our focus. So God gave really Paul revelation that in a sense his weakness was a good thing. He had a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure, lest he become prideful. So the Lord allowed some things in Paul's life to keep him in a place where he can continue to use him as a vessel. Amen. And Paul bore a lot of fruit, did he not? So we need to see things from God's perspective. Spiritual bondage is a sign that we lack the freedom that comes from knowing God. Spiritual bondage is a sign that we lack the freedom that comes from knowing the truth. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. How many know is more than just listening to the word of God? It's hearing the word of God. I hear you, Lord. I'm submitting myself to your word. I believe your word to the degree that I will actually walk and live according to your word. Because we know in Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. Amen. How about health problems? How about kids? How about spouse? How about financial troubles? Employment issues? Whatever it may be, God tells us not to worry about these things. Somebody say, don't worry about it. God's got it, right? Whenever I get worried, I say, wait a minute. This is illegal. This is an illegal thought. Take it captive. Instead, say, Lord, thank you. You promise to take care of me. Amen. You said, don't worry about it. Just commit it to you and you take care of it. And I'm going to believe you for that. Amen. It may not happen when or how I expect, but I'm going to trust you that your ways are perfect. They're higher than my ways. And everything you do is good. Yes, he is a good God. And he loves you with an everlasting love. He is truly a loving heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Faith comes in here. We need to have faith in God's faithfulness, right? Romans 8:37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Through all the things of life, the difficulties, the tragedies, the sorrows, the loss, the failures, the persecutions, the opposition of the enemy, all these things that happen, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God has a way of lifting us up above everything. God has given us the privilege of coming to him so that he can lift us up above everything that's going on. All the trauma, all the stuff, right, that's going on in life. Sometimes we can feel so overwhelmed. Well, God says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants us to come to him and rest. He wants us to learn how to lean back in his arms and just let go. Hallelujah. You know, there's no problems in heaven. God is not worried about anything. Amen. So we need to abide in the one who's free of all worry. Amen. It has no worry. In his arms, we can find comfort. Amen. We can find rest in him. God's not telling us to ignore our problems, but set our hearts and our minds above our problems. Look above the problem. One of the things that really helps me is I just remember the end of the book. I remember how things are going to end. And I remember God's promise that he's coming again to rule and to reign. Amen. And so no matter what man does in the meantime, the day is coming when the Lord himself will ascend from heaven. Amen. Or descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Amen. With the trump of God. God is coming to rule. Jesus is going to put down all rule and authority. He is going to establish his reign in the earth. And in that day, every knee shall bow. I love that. I get excited. Every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every king, all kingdoms, all people, amen, all nations, tribes, tongues will bow before the King of Kings. Hallelujah. So when you see things happening in your world, look beyond that. Look above it and say, but the Lord is going to come. Amen. At the appointed time. And he's going to deal with it. He will avenge us someday. And he loves justice. And he hates lies. He doesn't want us being consumed by our problems or our worries or our needs or any of these things. Because then we're not truly living, are we? If the enemy can get us worried about things and focused on things we have no control of, he can rob you of your joy for the day. We need to see God as who he is. We need to see things from heaven's perspective, from God's perspective. And that is, he is our loving Heavenly Father who is always there for us. And he longs to take us in his arms and comfort us and strengthen us and to mold us into the image of Jesus. We're being changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. God has begun a good work in you. He is faithful to complete it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely upon your own understanding. Amen. Don't turn away from the old ancient landmarks. Amen. Let the word of God be your standard of rule, faith and conduct. Amen. And so when our perspective is heavenward, not only will our problems shrink, but we are inviting God to intervene on our behalf because you're living in faith. You're trusting in the Lord. Again, when you feel like you're being overwhelmed, look past it. Look to the end. Look to the joy that is set before you. Jesus was our forerunner. Our example, he went before us. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. Amen? God will reward faithfulness. Just be faithful. Amen? Hold up tightly to the Lord. Call on his name. He will rescue you. He is with us just like he promised. Hebrews 12:1, I'm almost finished. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this, verse 2, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Huh. Is God for you? Are you blessed today? Are you favored of the Lord? Amen. Is God with you? And is he for you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He will rescue you. Put your faith in God. That's what Jesus said. He said, just have faith in God. With man, this may be impossible. There are many things that are impossible for man. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. If we know he is truly with us, then who can defeat us? Again, if we believe we are grasshoppers in our own sight, then the enemy will also realize that, won't he? If we realize that the giant within us is bigger than the giant in the world, then we have confidence, amen, that our God is mighty to save, and my God will deliver me, amen. My God will give me the victory, and any giant that stands between me and my destiny, amen, must go in Jesus' name. Because God has promised us a land that is flowing with milk and honey. God has promised us an inheritance. And God has promised a rest for his people, even here and now in this world. God wants you to know his rest for your soul. Amen? A supernatural peace. Not as the world says, Jesus said, right? But My peace I give unto you. So don't let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid, he said. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. The devil and the demons need to know that they are the ones in trouble. The devil and his demons know, they need to know, hear me, that they are the ones in trouble. Who is on the Lord's side? The Lord with us? Mighty to save? He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he has delegated authority to his people. So why should we be intimidated by the devil? They need to know that they're the ones in trouble. God will protect us. God will defend us. God is with us. And he will give us the victory. Because he's already done it. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Amen. How many know that the demons knew who Jesus was? They knew who Paul was. And as the seven sons of Sceva found out, right? But who are you, they said. Because they weren't in Christ. And they didn't know. But we know because Christ is in us. And greater is he that's in us. So why should we be intimidated by our adversary? Again, the devil needs to know that he is the one that's in trouble. God's called you and I to enforce the victory in this world. God has called you and I to destroy the works of the devil. Because Jesus has already done so. Now he wants us to enforce it. He wants us to go in his name, amen, and cast out demons. He wants us to proclaim the kingdom, amen. He wants us to heal the sick. He wants us to raise the dead. God has anointed us and appointed us for such a time as this, and we should in no way be intimidated by our adversary. He needs to know he's the one in trouble. We're not to be living in defensive mode all the time. God wants us to move forward. And take back what the devil has stolen from us. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm no longer under the curse. I'm blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to live the rest of my life for the pleasure of my King. I want to bring pleasure to Jesus. So I willingly take this stubborn vessel and submit it to the will of God. And I live the rest of my days for him. Are you hearing me, somebody? I prioritize God's will, God's business above my own. And God said, I'll take care of your business. Put me first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Live for the one who died for you. An old chorus I was thinking of. Who died for me? How happy then my life will be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life will be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Let's sing it. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life will be. I'll live for him who died for me. My Savior and my God. God is looking for laborers. He's looking for workers. He's looking for those, amen, whose hearts are loyal to him. Will you give your life back to him? Will you live to serve the Lord? Will you commit yourself to the Lord and to his church and to his work? Can you say amen to that? Does he not deserve it? Is he not worthy of it? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. I want to please the Lord. I want to put a smile on his face. I want to hear him say in that day, well done. my good and faithful servant. Thank you, Jesus.